In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, no more family time in Baton Rouge for Brian Kelly and his family, as there has been a change, Diesel. There has been a change to Brian Kelly's job status at Louisiana State University. Welcome into Wire to Wire. He's Diesel. I'm Cole Bryson on this just beautiful Monday. I mean, isn't it nice outside? The sun's shining, 74 degrees, not a cloud in the sky.
My dog has been yelling at me all morning because he wants to go outside. He needs to go potty, but he won't go in the rain.
It's big, the worst.
Big, tough Doberman. His ancestors used to jump out of airplanes in WW2, but he can't get his ears wet to go tinkle.
No, it's a messy, messy day, Tolo. Stay safe. I saw like 16 wrecks just in my commute on 85 today, so stay safe out there while you are toloing. But Brian Kelly's the biggest news, Diesel. I had the rundown yesterday with South Carolina leading the show and what they weren't able to do on Saturday at Williams-Brice. However, Brian Kelly is now leading the show because of what happened over the weekend. And boy, a very tense meeting, evidently, after Saturday's loss between the LSU athletic director, Scott Woodward, and Brian Kelly. The meeting was supposedly tense and ugly, but after that ugly loss to Texas A&M, Diesel, LSU chooses to move on from Brian Kelly and Joe Sloan, the offensive coordinator. Right move or wrong move?
I think it's the wrong move. Right now, considering that one of your rivals, Florida, is also going to be looking for a head coach, you're probably going to be the second most attractive job in the SEC. And I know that's a weird thing to say, that LSU is less attractive than Florida, but Florida is desperate. Florida will do anything. Florida will throw out any sum of money it takes to get whatever coach it is that they want. I also think it's a terrible move, Cole, because Brian Kelly won a lot of football games. He won a lot of games. As a matter of fact, he is the fifth winningest coach in LSU football history all time. When you look at win percentage, he had an elite win percentage at LSU, and it's not good enough. I think the SEC is in a really unhealthy place with its fan bases and their expectations on winning. I said it years ago, you can't keep bringing in elite team after elite team after elite team after elite team and not expect to take an extra loss or two every season. But SEC fans have not adjusted their mindset around that concept.
You know, it's so wild and intriguing, Diesel, because Brian Kelly, like, he started off the season on a positive note. They went to Clemson. They beat Clemson. We know now that Clemson's not a very good team. But still, they started the season 4-0. Then they lost three of their last four. The offense got exposed by Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, and what we saw A&M, the defense, got exposed. When you allow 49 points in your own building, I think that's probably the reason that Brian Kelly was fired this past weekend. To your point, yes, it's bad timing because you got to go up against Florida. Not only Florida, but Penn State, their job open is open as well. So the timing's not great, but we're talking about LSU here. This is one of the most attractive, best coaching jobs in all of the United States of America. And for Brian Kelly to be here, which feels like he's been there for 2 years. I know, obviously, he's been there a little bit longer, but not much longer. It doesn't feel like long at all since this guy's been there. And for Bam, at the snap of a finger, for him to already to be out the door, to your point, one of the most attractive destination jobs in college football seems as unstable as ever right now.
T-Swizzle on the stream says, just not a great fit. He's headed back up north. Well, T-Swizzle, I hate to tell you, but fit, it doesn't really mean anything in college football. Winning means everything, and he wasn't winning enough for them. Now, fit might be the excuse. It might be the fake excuse that you throw out there when you don't like the win percentage, but you're not willing to say that, hey, you better win 78% of your games here or more, or we will can you. That's what you say out loud. Oh, culture didn't fit. Culture, did it fit when he was winning 34 games in the last 4 years? His culture sure as heck seemed to fit then. He was 19-10 in SEC play. Now, I know that doesn't sound phenomenal, but when we're talking about, you know, other teams, other programs that expect better that are not as good, as in winning 2 out of 3 against conference play, against the toughest conference schedule anybody is ever going to play in this country ever. How is that not good enough for these people? And that's why I think SEC fan bases and especially donors are in a really bad spot right now.
Well, they want to win yesterday, and that's the fact of the matter. You used to want to build a program, and you used to. I remember growing up, you'd always say, like, a college football coach, Diesel, when they come in, they deserve at least 5 to 6 years just to get, you know, recruiting in place, to get a foundation. And now, 5, 6 years, are you kidding me? They're not given a year, it seems like. And Brian Kelly on the way out, like, just, again, with what we've seen at Florida, with what we've seen at Penn State just this season, it just goes to show where we are in college football. Do I love it? I don't know that I do. Diesel, I think I'm somewhere in the middle in terms of I asked you the question, right move, wrong move, I find myself somewhere in the middle of that because ultimately, yes, your program should have expectations to win. And like I said, they want to win yesterday. Now, I don't think they should be given the time they were used to because of what you can do with NIL in the portal. But my gosh, here's where we are now in college football that James Franklin's not good enough. Brian Kelly's not good enough. There are only 3 active coaches in college football that have won national championships. So all we're doing now, Diesel, it's becoming a recycling bin of these college coaches. And, okay, now let's go get Marcus Freeman. Well, Marcus Freeman hadn't won a national championship. Yep. So, like, to your point about fit, fit matters. Fit's not the end-all, be-all in my mind. I just think ultimately we are so caught up in winning yesterday that these $55, $60 million buyouts are just nothing anymore. And I don't know that that's a healthy place for this sport to be in.
Tell me what's healthy about fan bases. And this is college football at large, okay? This is not just a handful of programs here. You are a garbage head coach until you've won a national championship.
Yeah,
that's not healthy. You suck as a head coach. You suck as a head coach if you've never won a national championship game. Oh, wait. You can also suck as a head coach if you have won multiple national championships, but you haven't done it in the last couple of years. So tell me, fans of this sport, how do you think that's sustainable? That's why these buyouts are as big as they are. That's why these salaries are as big as they are. Because, hey, if you're going to put me under the gun from literal day one as your head coach, you're not going to give me any time to breathe, any time to learn the culture, to figure out what the best route is to get to and from the stadium every day. you're going to pay me $15 million a year, or you're going to pay me $10 million a year, and you're going to pay me $60 million to go away. Now, I know these programs have it because there's all kinds of private equity infusing money into these programs, and the money is there. But it's just, I don't see how it's sustainable in the long run.
It doesn't seem sustainable in the long run, and that's why I kind of point to like this recycle state that we're in with these coaches. Now, I will say, on the flip side of that, Diesel, I don't think Brian Kelly was all in his job, in his tenure at LSU. I just, from the small decisions to the large decisions, I don't think Brian Kelly looked at it as, hey, I've got to give 110% every single day. Brian Kelly, to me, it almost seemed like it was more of a on-the-way-out kind of job where I can allow this to be my last and final destination and win a lot of football games and have a 35-14, whatever it is, record, and that'll be good enough. I just don't know that Brian Kelly realized what kind of job he was in. There are a few jobs, going back to my point a few minutes ago, Diesel, there are a few jobs in America that have the expectations of the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the LSUs, the Penn States, the Floridas, and LSU is one of those jobs. And Brian Kelly, for as many games as he won in his short tenure, I don't believe he took it serious enough to understand that, guess what? Yeah, you're going to get a $54 million buyout, $54 million buyout, but at the same time, we want more out of you. We want to be competing for a national championship. And I think the powers that be, Diesel, felt like this team this year in 2025 was good enough to win a national championship. And the start they had, they were all in. And then you saw just 1 month later how quickly things can change in college football.
I think Brian Kelly thought that he could carpetbag his way to a national championship at LSU. You know, guy had all the success in the world at Cincinnati, had a ton of success at Notre Dame, never won a national championship at Notre Dame. I think Brian Kelly came in with supreme confidence that it was going to be easy to win a national championship at LSU. I think he thought, hey, I'm coming in from, by God, Notre Dame, and I'm gonna throw my name around there. I'm going to get the best of the best recruits, and we're going to beat everybody. I think that's what Brian Kelly thought. Now, obviously, NIL and the portal changed some, not a ton, because it had already begun by the time Brian made his way to LSU. But I think he thought, hey, there's some guys that we just can't get here to Notre Dame. The guys that I need to win national championships at Notre Dame, I can't get. So let me go to the SEC. Yeah, I'm going to have to face Bama. I'm going to have to face Georgia. I'm going to have to face A&M and Texas too. But by God, I'm at LSU, and I think I can parlay my name, my previous success, my tenure at Notre Dame into getting those kind of recruits that I couldn't get before, and then waltz his way to a national championship. And it didn't happen that way.
Tolos, want to hear from you on this Monday, 844-326-3663. That's 844-FAN-PHONE, FANFONE. You can text the Hub City Spartanburgers text line or call the show. Phone lines are open as well. A big show coming your way. We have South Carolina Gamecock football to get into in the very next segment. Daily Wire's coming up. Unfortunately, we do have to touch on the Carolina Panthers and what didn't happen over the weekend. We've got Grayson Mann, Diesel, TigerNet coming up at 4:20. Overreaction Monday at 5 o'clock. Hunt Palmer of ESPN, 104.5 ESPN in Baton Rouge at 5:22 to take a deep dive on this very topic. Audio Blitz coming up at 6. And again, your overreactions at 5. But the phone lines and the text line, 844-326-3663. I just wonder, to your point a few minutes ago about how long, Diesel, we can sustain this, I just wonder how athletic directors find balance. What do I mean? You take one end of the spectrum and you see Mike Gundy and his tenure at Oklahoma State before he was – how long, Diesel, Mike Gundy was at Oklahoma State? You also put Clemson and Dabo Swinney in that circle because Dabo Swinney's a long-tenured coach. He has won national championships. I wonder now – how athletic directors balance feeling that way, leaving your coaches there as long as Mike Gundy and Dabo Swinney are or were in Gundy's case, versus on the other end of the spectrum, doing what James Franklin and Penn State's done and LSU and Florida, ripping the Band-Aid off. There's got to be a happy medium. And I think now that you have general managers in the sport of college football, you find yourself in a tough spot. Where do you land? If you're an athletic director, where do you land? What's your ideology? What's your opinion? It's an arms race. It feels like it's truly an arms race to win. Mm-hmm. And when yesterday, and you see programs holding on to their coach, slipping, you see programs firing their coach and wanting to get right back to the mountaintop, which may be possible, where's the balance? I think it's an extremely tough time to be an athletic director.
Well, I think it's an extremely tough time to be a head coach right now, because you could have spent 30 years, 40 years in this profession building up a wealth of knowledge that will help you win football games. You know, and it's always been about building program and surrounding your team with the right kind of people, or setting yourself up to be a stepping stone to the NFL, however you want to build your program, right? All that has been washed away by the greed and the willingness to spend ungodly amounts of money to attract players through NIL and the transfer portal. It will rip a team apart as soon as you have something. That might be the best thing about college football right now, and this is a weird way to say it, because in the NFL, we say one of the best things about the NFL is that there is a salary cap and it keeps teams from paying so much, and then guys will just hit the end of their contract and they'll take off for greener pastures. And by greener, I mean more money.
Yeah.
But in college football, there is no salary cap. So if insert elite level quarterback here wants another $2 million next year, it's up to you to go find it. And you can keep a team together if you're willing to pay for it. But I think it's turned what the job of a head coach is on its head. I think a lot of head coaches probably feel less connected to their team than they ever have, because they didn't have to build the relationship. The relationship they build with parents and high school coaches, it doesn't matter anymore, because the only relationship that matters is whoever at wherever's collective is willing to throw the most money at them.
Yeah, it's transactional now. The relationship stuff, what's that matter? Now, look, the relationship stuff still matters to some people out there. That's why schools and programs, Diesel, like Clemson, are still getting these certain players that want to go be in that environment and play for a Dabo Swinney kind of guy. But ultimately, you look at the current state of college football, and none of that's valued. You know, like, it's not valued, because that's not what equals winning. Relationships plus good old boy recruiting that used to be the formula, that doesn't equal championships anymore. Now it's, you know, what we can do yesterday to bring in the best players with the most money. And the fact of the matter is, you and I are talking about all of these things being true, with the amounts of money, you know, that's throwing around in NIL, that's throwing around in these buyouts. What it all boils down to is, these buyouts were supposed to prevent things like this happening 18 times during a college football season. But Diesel, it comes down to, there's just too much money being thrown at college football, invested into the sport. And if you're an athletic director at LSU and you can go into a meeting you lose on Saturday night, you can go into a meeting, Diesel, on Sunday or pick up the phone and call a couple of people. Make a few phone calls, mm-hmm. and you can find $54 million from the time you lose to A&M to the time 24 hours later you find Brian Kelly. That's what's mind-boggling about all this.
I do wonder what the minimum number of phone calls a college football athletic director has ever had to make to come up with a north of $40 million buyout is.
Like, probably not many.
Has any of them have like what, two calls, three calls, four calls? I mean, if it's happening within 24 hours, they're not making a ton of calls. I mean, there's a saying, Cole, that goes, people are promoted to the level of their incompetence. But Brian Kelly isn't incompetent. James Franklin at Penn State was not incompetent. Billy Napier at Florida was not incompetent. I think one of the problems is the SEC is just too damn hard.
Yeah.
In the sense that every single coach, bar maybe Sam Pittman, but really, every single coach in the SEC going into the season was competent in their position. The problem is, when you've got this much money floating around, when you can buy players from all over the country to come to you, even if you're at the bottom end of the SEC. Now, every ship has raised, and the margins in between the 1, 2, 3, and the 5 through 10 are very, very minimal. The problem is you're going to lose more of those games. It's going to happen. You're going to play bad. Or that other team is just better than that program ever used to be. But the problem is fan expectations haven't changed. They still expect you to go 7-1, 8-0 in conference. And that's just not realistic.
Dan B. on the stream, good to see you. He says he has upset pick results. J.B. says Tolo. Madcraft says, woo, what a great week of football. J.B. says LSU fires Brian Kelly. But like all these other openings, if some certain coaches don't decide to leave and jump ship, somebody is getting stuck with a possible Napier 2.0. T-Swizzle says, to your point, you read this one earlier, Diesel, just not a great fit. He's headed back up north. JB says, Kelly shouldn't have been fired for another SEC job. He's just not an SEC guy.
What does that mean, though? What does that mean? Do you need him to talk with a realistic twang? If Brian Kelly had a real twang, is he now an SEC guy?
I don't know.
What does that actually mean? I mean, that sounds a little jingoistic to me.
T. Swizzle says Kelly's an above average coach. They didn't like him. Guys want to win. Figueroa Tom says programs want instant national titles.
It's true.
That is true.
And how do you expect to win instant national titles when you got Dan Lanning doing what he's doing in Oregon, when you got what's going on at Ohio State, when you got elite level football still being played at Georgia with Kirby Smart, with Alabama figuring things out with Kalen DeBoer? I mean, how do you realistically put an expectation? See, we've gone from hopes to being expectations. We hope to win a national championship every now and again. To now, we expect to win a national championship every now and again. But the problem is, there's only one trophy handed out every year.
And that's why I think it's going back to my point about the AD, Diesel. I think that's why it's so tough being an AD, because, like, what kind of pressure are they getting? They're like, hey, you've got to make it. We've got to be playing for a national championship yesterday. And if we're not playing for a national championship yesterday, you've got to make a move. Texter says, y'all don't think Shaq and Burrow didn't take care of it themselves? Maybe. They probably have enough to where they could have. But ultimately, man, it's just the amount of money, these buyouts, even though we see it happening now, it seems like every week, it still doesn't change the fact that $54 million is an astronomical amount of money just to get rid of somebody.
Brian Kelly's win percentage at LSU, 708. He won 70.8% of his games. Compare that to Ed Orgeron that won 72% of his games. Nick Saban won 75% of his games. Les Miles won 77% of his games. And he got his ass handed his walking papers too. So it's a great time to be a coach. It's a great time to be an agent, but it's a tough time for longevity at your position.
JB, to your point a minute ago, says his style of football is what I'm talking about, Diesel. His style of football didn't fit. That's at least a lot of complaints I've heard from LSU fans. Kane says, does Brian Kelly actually know ball? That'd be a question for Rob Brown, Kane, not us.
Wow, he knows ball far more than any of us do. speaking of knowing ball, it seemed like Shane Beamer and Mike Shula knew ball for the most part of that game on Saturday, and then it all fell apart. South Carolina took Alabama to the brink but just couldn't quite get it done. We talk about it and get your reaction from you Gamecock fans next.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Cole JB says that we need to do everything we can do to get Roll Tide Willie on the show. I don't know if you can stretch a bean can and string far enough to get to where Roll Tide Willie is.
I was hoping I'd meet him Saturday. I didn't see him. I don't know if he was there. Probably not. I don't know if you can get from Alabama to South Carolina, but I would love to. That'd be incredible. There's
I'm not sure that Roll Tide Willie has a driver's license, so I don't know if he could get from Tuscaloosa to Columbia on foot that fast.
It'd be great. It would be great. I'll have to admit, it'd be top of the line.
Tolo asked the question on these coaches' firings and large buyouts. Do they still get paid if they take another job? I'm sure everyone's contract is different, but it seems this would be the standard equals no pay if you take another job. Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Tolo. Basically, if Brian Kelly, just to make the math easy here for a second, let's say Brian Kelly's buyout was exactly $50 million. That means he was fired without cause, so the school has to pay him a predetermined, pre-agreed-upon amount based on how many years are left on his contract, and that would be the guaranteed money on his contract. So he's fired now. They owe him $50 million. Brian Kelly takes another job somewhere else that sets him up with a three-year, $30 million contract. Now LSU owes him $30 million. LSU will only owe him $20 million, and the other 30 will be paid by the new school.
What a terrible problem to have.
Right?
Let me figure out what am you I owed $20 million by this person or $30 million by. Wait a minute.
You can
choose to
not do anything for the rest of your life and get paid $50 million by LSU. And that's great. That's your prerogative if that's what you want to do. But if you want to get back into coaching, then that's how you do it. I don't know. I've never heard this, Cole. I'm sure Lane Kiffin will be the first to try it at some point, where you take another job, you get a huge buyout for getting fired, and you take another job and say, I'll do that job for $1 a year.
Yeah.
Just pay me $1 a year. That way, the old institution that fired him, that he may want to stick it to, has to pay him an exorbitant buyout. I mean, and you know if Lane Kiffin gets a job, whether it be LSU, because they're already talking about him at LSU, just as they were talking about him at Florida. If Lane takes either one of those jobs, his buyout is going to be gargantuan.
Dewey says on the YouTube stream, Food Lion didn't give me a buyout when they fired me. Such a travesty. That is a travesty, Dewey. I'd call them back and see where your buyout is.
They didn't even let you keep the office supplies you stuffed in your pockets on your way out.
Sad to hear that, Dewey.
Sad. Speaking of sad, Cole, that shot of Shane Beamer's face on the sideline after Alabama scored the eventual winning touchdown, That was the true definition of sadsies, because he thought he had the game won, and by God, it looked like South Carolina had the game won. Alabama was playing awful in that football game. Everything was going wrong for them. Everything was going right for South Carolina until the moment that it flipped on a switch. And Alabama scores, and then Elinoris Sellers with a chance to go get him down into field goal position, kick the game winner. He fumbles the ball.
Yeah.
And Alabama, of course, goes down and scores a touchdown. I think those are those kind of moments, Cole, that when you're not a very good football team, yet you found a way to play exceptional to a certain point in the game, those are those moments that just simply deflate a defense.
Yeah.
Like, there is no way. It is inevitable that Alabama's going to score in that position and win the game.
You know, ultimately, Diesel, when you talk about playing in the SEC and playing big games and then Saturday playing against the number four team in the country, you, I, everybody else, Shane Beamer, we all talk about it. We all know that when you are in situations like South Carolina was in Saturday, you've got to have a near-perfect game. You've got to have a lot go your way. You've got to play exceptionally well. And we see it from high school football to college to pro. When you're in the big games, you've got to limit the mistakes that don't allow you to overcome the opposition. And simply put, you can go back and watch that game a million times, Diesel. We can talk about it until we're red in the face. Mm-hmm. But simply put, and Shane Beamer talked about this postgame, South Carolina on Saturday night had far too many mistakes and missed opportunities to beat Alabama. And those mistakes didn't just come in the fourth quarter when Lenoris fumbled the football. They came all the way back in the first quarter when they almost had an interception against Ty Simpson. When they threw in it, you know, the ball's bouncing off the receivers, Fajon's hand. There's just way too many things that you go back and watch that game. Way too many mistakes for the Gamecocks. And unfortunately, we're having this conversation for the second year in a row when you talk about South Carolina playing Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, you look down the stat sheet here. So many of these columns, so many of these points are in South Carolina's favor. You had more total yards. You had more time of possession. You weren't even that badly penalized. Five penalties for 40 yards. You won that as well. It's just one of those, man, it's the worst possible time to have a mental error, and that got South Carolina again and again in the fourth quarter of that game. Dewey jokes, South Carolina thinks football is a 3.5-quarter sport.
Yeah.
And he's not wrong. He's not wrong. It's a heartbreaker, though, because it felt like, okay, last week this team was deflated as they could be, just getting beaten every phase of the game by Oklahoma. They show up against arguably an equal team, possibly a better team, depending on who you talk to and what time of day it is, and they come out with their hair on fire. I mean, playing really good football. Wasn't perfect. Wasn't perfect when they were taking the lead. But, man, it was tough to watch.
It was tough, especially in the fourth quarter, because, like, being there, man, that place was rocking. South Carolina had all the momentum when that quarter ended. It was an electric atmosphere. And for South Carolina to lose it the way they did, it's just hard. And South Carolina's had a lot of tough losses this season, but I think this one stung. I think this loss stung more than any of the other five total losses now. I think this was the toughest one because you felt like you were right there. The number four team in the country who, you know, came in 6-1, 4-0 in the SEC, and Lenoris Sellers was great on Saturday. 18 of 32, 222, one touchdown. He did have that one pick. Like I said, I don't really think it was his fault. He was great on the ground, 18 rushes, 67 yards. The offensive line played well, played better, I thought.
Yeah.
I don't put that game on the offensive line. I don't put that game on Mike Shula. I think that there were a lot of areas of improvement on Saturday, and then you look at the final score and you think, oh, 29-22, you lost. So it's really hard to talk about and highlight and emphasize those areas of improvement because you lost the game. You simply didn't get it done. But I think this is tough to say, and I know this will be a tough pill for South Carolina fans to swallow. For as good as Lenoris Sellers is, that guy just didn't get it done.
Well,
and 2024 Diesel, an Alabama game, he put the ball on the ground twice last week or last Saturday against Alabama. As good as he was, he cost them an opportunity in the fourth quarter. However you want to look at it, your quarterback cost you an opportunity to win the game.
Well, I did like at the onset of the game, Cole, you know, they were going outside. They were doing exactly what we've all been saying. Yes, that's what you need to do when you've got a terrible offensive line and an aggressive defense. You got to get the ball out into space. You got to move laterally a little bit instead of waiting for plays to develop downfield. Now, eventually those plays did start to develop. Harbor had that beautiful long 50-some-odd yard touchdown reception. But when you can actually keep a defense on its heels by getting the ball out in space and not letting them be so aggressive and over-pursue, all of a sudden you start finding success. But, of course, what happens, Cole, as soon as they do that, they find success, they move the ball. The next drive, they throw it back across the middle again. And you're right, that's not on Lenora Sellers. That interception was not on him. But it's like, come on, Mike, this is working. Don't go away from this right now. Just ride this out a little bit longer. See if you can put some points on the board actually playing away from your weaknesses.
Yeah. I don't put it on Shula on Saturday. I thought Shula called a good enough game. You know, I think Alabama, Diesel, as the game went on, got better up front. They had a quarterback Saturday who didn't really play his best. I mean, Ty Simpson missed some incredibly big throws. He overthrew some big plays. Now, he has a really good ability to make good decisions when he's outside of the pocket, Ty Simpson does. And, you know, they had some issues up front. Both teams had issues in pass protection on Saturday night. You know, you saw the run game outside of Lenoris, not the best for South Carolina, not the best for Alabama. Alabama got better as the game went on, and in the fourth quarter, they played their absolute best. But, man, you just look at what Ty Simpson did. That guy didn't play his best, but ultimately, you know what he didn't do? He didn't cost his team a chance to win, and I think that's the difference. South Carolina, for as good as they were, you just can't have so many self-inflicted mistakes to where you cost yourself. To your point, I thought they played good enough to win. The defense, I liked what they did. I thought they played hard, Diesel. I thought they set the edge really well on Saturday. Dylan Stewart was really good. He wreaked havoc, as he always does. And the cornerbacks, I thought, did a good job of playing good man coverage when needed to. And the problem is, though, when you're talking about South Carolina and you're getting into these tight games, do you have the experience to draw back on from earlier games in the year where you can say, hey, we were able to go win that close game against so-and-so? No, they don't. And that's the problem, Diesel. They just don't have that experience to be able to pull from blank game or they were in a tight game. They hadn't done that this year.
I don't know if you're as pessimistic as I am, Cole, but, you know, I feel like I can generally peg a situation in a game when a turnover happens or when a team should score a touchdown but they only get three or they miss a field goal. I can kind of peg those situations as like, oh, that's a turning point. That's going to change this game. Of course the other team is going to march down the field and score and win this game. Did you get that feeling when Lenoris put the ball on the turf and Alabama got it back? Like, did your mind say, oh, they're going to score because I don't trust this defense at all?
Yeah, it was tough because you felt like South Carolina had a little momentum. And then you talk about momentum killers, drive killers. They had a few penalties that were drive killers. They didn't have a ton of penalties, to your point, but I felt like when you go back and watch, they had a few penalties that were really impactful. Sometimes you'd rather have more penalties that aren't impactful rather than Diesel having fewer that are really impactful. And I felt like they had a few that were impactful. But to your point, no, you put the ball on the ground, you give ball back to a 6-1 football team is probably not going to end well in the fourth quarter. And again, at the very end of the game, I know it was a big controversy having to let Alabama score late. I don't have a problem with letting a team score. I almost felt like, though, they let them score a little too late. Like, you just didn't really have much time to get anything going. And I know some fans were upset about that, you know, saying, well, you should never let a team score. But, Diesel, then you're talking about, do you really expect to block a field goal?
Right.
Or do you want to give the ball back to Lenore Sellers?
Like, the chances with a minute to go of blocking a field goal, of a goal line stand in that situation are fairly low. But if you can get the ball back with a minute to play, then you can maybe make something happen. But then again, Cole, like we say it all the time, oh, so when they're trying to let that team score, which feels like a fairly recent thing, right? To go ahead and let the team score so you get the ball back with as much time as possible.
Yeah.
Well, coaches are coaching these players to go down. So you may let a guy run right up the middle, and he goes down on the 2-yard line,
yeah,
and it's a moot point. So now you've just cost yourself any opportunity to maybe mount some kind of a comeback. These players are learning, and some of them are smarter than others. Some of them go down in bounds. Some of them see that goal line, and that's all they can think about, and they go score. And usually it works out just fine for them. But some of them can't stop themselves from scoring. I feel for you, South Carolina fans, though. You will have your chance coming up at 5 o'clock to overreact to what you saw this weekend. Remember, every Monday at 5 o'clock, Overreaction Monday, 844-FAN-PHONE. It's your chance to call in and sound off about whatever you want to talk about.
And it's tough, man. Like, I feel for them, too, because, you know, you're at a really tough spot in your program, Diesel. Before we run to a break, with Shane Beamer, people generally have always loved the guy and want the guy to be successful. And now, you know, as the season's gone on, you're seeing a lot of these fans turn on Shane Beamer and become, you know, they're looking outside. They're looking at Penn State. They're looking at LSU and Florida and what they're doing. And they're, you know, they're allowing that to impact their viewpoint of Shane Beamer. And then you see a Beamer team that's not the better team on Saturday, almost beat and upset number 4 ranked Alabama. So you feel good about certain things, and you want to feel optimistic, and you want to feel like the program's still in a good spot. But then again, the next day, LSU fires Brian Kelly. So it's an extremely tough place to be, I think, if you're Jeremiah Donati, because you want to give Beamer a chance to get this thing back on track consistently, but how do you balance the line of the last segment's conversation of, you know, when's the right time to make the move?
So something we didn't approach when we talked about Brian Kelly in the first segment. They've given Shane Beamer now multiple opportunities to fire offensive coordinators, fire defensive coordinators, fire offensive line coaches in an attempt to get it right, because they have enough faith in Shane Beamer, or yeah, they like him enough to want to keep him around, because they know that he is a lightning rod when things are going well.
Sure.
With Brian Kelly, I'm shocked that they fired Brian Kelly and then the next morning they turn around and fire the OC.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you not give Brian Kelly the opportunity to fire his OC and see if he can figure things out? It'd be a heck of a lot cheaper, too.
And I also now think, with all these other job openings, I just don't think the time's right to fire Beamer this year. And I know you and I are hearing and reacting to everything all the fans say and post online. And, you know, half the fan base wants him gone. Half the fan base wants him back. I think ultimately he's back in 2026. I think to save face, though, with the fan base, I think he does fire Mike Shula, Diesel, even if Mike Shula has a good next few games, just in order for him to be able to go on these Garnet and Black tours across the state in the offseason to save face. I think he fires Mike Shula, and then I think 2026 is a huge year for Shane Beamer.
I'm going to call it Shane Beamer. Whenever it happens, if Shane Beamer gets let go, Shane Beamer will be a head coach in the ACC the next season.
You think so?
Shane Beamer, his level of enthusiasm at an ACC school where the expectations aren't all that high? Come on, man. That is a match made in heaven. If I'm Brian Kelly, you know what? I'll save it. I'll get into that at 5 o'clock. Next up, Daily Wires.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contrast. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Well, every day we do a segment where we bring you the top headlines in all of the sports world. What is happening? We call it our Daily Wires.
Buzz.
It's the buzz of what's going on. And as you know, a big sports weekend, so a lot going on. Let's start with this. We led the show with this. The biggest news of the day, LSU has fired coach Brian Kelly. Athletic director Scott Woodward announced Sunday night, minutes after the players were informed of the decision during a team meeting. Talks regarding the terms of his departure are continuing, the school said in its statement. Kelly is owed just more than $54 million in his buyout money.
Which door do you want me out of, brother?
Ooh. Man, they've paid a lot of money in buyouts recently, hadn't they?
You would think they would learn their lesson.
Man, I'd like to go coach next. Sign me up. LSU has also fired offensive coordinator Joe Sloan as of Monday morning. Their offense was ranked 12th in the SEC. Colorado coach Deion Sanders said he was dumbfounded when trying to evaluate the Buffaloes' blowout loss Saturday night against Utah. The 53-7 loss in Salt Lake City marked Colorado's worst defeat since Sanders started coaching the Buffaloes in 2023. Diesel, that was rough, wasn't it?
Does Florida State really want this guy?
You know, a buddy and I were talking about that yesterday. The sexiness of Deion has kind of dropped off a little bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, when he was winning a ton at Jackson State, when he had clearly better athletes than anybody else that they were playing on their schedule, it was fun. It was sexy. It was like, oh, Deion, man, he's amazing. Goes to Colorado. As soon as he loses those two elite players, nothing.
I was going to say, it's the post-Travis Hunter and Shador hangover, yeah. I guess. The New York Giants rookie running back Cam Scatabo was carted off the field midway through the second quarter Sunday in the 38-20 loss to the Eagles. And if you didn't see it, don't watch it. It's awful. They showed it live. His ankle got caught underneath an Eagles player as he tried to catch a pass over the middle of the field, and his foot was turned to the right.
Gross. I didn't see it. But I can picture it, and it still gives me the willies.
It was bad. I was watching Red Zone Diesel, and Red Zone showed it live, like, not meaning to, I don't think, but they did. So it was very, very tough to see.
My wife will sit and watch those, like, injury shows.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Like, I can't do it.
I'm not a fan. Not a fan. The NCAA has been ordered to pay former South Carolina State player Robert Geithers, who played at South Carolina State from 77 to 80, and his wife $18 million by a South Carolina jury. The NCAA found to be negligent in failing to warn the player about long-term effects of concussions. A civil trial wrapped up late last week in which Orangeburg County jurors awarded $10 million to the 68-year-old former defensive end. His wife was awarded $8 million, so a nice little payday for them after that. Diesel, game three of the World Series is tonight in L.A., 8 p.m. first pitch. It's Tyler Glasnow on the mound for the Dodgers. Max Scherzer on the mound for the Blue Jays. Series tied 1-1. I was wrong about my Dodgers prediction on Friday. They got blown out on
Walloped.
Friday. I'm telling
Walloped.
You what. Speaking of wallop, the Carolina Panthers got walloped on Sunday, 40-9 loss to the Buffalo Bills. The Panthers now 4-4 on the season. Tonight in the NFL, Washington at Kansas City, kickoff 8:15 p.m. Kansas City favored by a whopping 10.5 points. Two more for you. Former NFL running back Adrian Peterson was arrested in Texas on suspicion of driving while intoxicated and unlawfully carrying a weapon. The arrest occurred in Sugar Land, a suburb of Houston, around 9:30 a.m. on Sunday. And last one for you, Diesel, the 2-1 Charlotte Hornets are back in action tomorrow with a road game at Miami. They followed up a 4-point road loss at Philly, a game in which Brandon Millard suffered a shoulder injury and missed the second half with a 139-113 road win against Washington yesterday. And those are your Daily Wires.
Are you in on the Hornets yet?
No, not yet.
2-1 with a 4-point loss without your best player in Philly?
I like it. I like it. I haven't watched them yet. I don't know if you can watch them, but I'm yeah. I'm still... You know how I am with NBA. I'm still football focused. Mm. Once the calendar turns, I'll become gotcha. More invested. But hey, I love it. I love yeah. that they're winning.
The only way you can watch Charlotte Hornets basketball is to be there. I don't think they have a TV deal. I don't think anybody wants it.
Dan B says, Cole, how about those Broncos? Yeah, that was rough. Like really, really, really bad. I think I'm checked out on the Cowboys season. They are trash.
You talked about it. Trash, garbage, refuse. The Carolina Panthers, that's the way they played yesterday when they got just absolutely pummeled by the Bills. We were a bit overconfident about their chances in that game. How did it go so badly? And we've got your upset picks challenge, brand new standings next.
Uh-oh.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.